Well, welcome to the first ever North Peace MB Church Roundtable podcast. My name is Andrew, and I'm the lead pastor here at the North Peace Church, and I'll let my colleague introduce himself.
Yeah, my name is Don, and I'm just the new associate pastor for youth and young adults, so just got started here in October.
Yeah, so this is exciting. This is a new thing that we're trying. Basically, every Monday morning, we're going to sit down and just talk about issues related to Christianity, the Bible, our culture, marriage, parenting, work, just basically issues that have to deal with actually following Jesus in every aspect of life. So why don't I introduce myself a little bit, because maybe you don't attend the North Peace Church and you're just listening in, but like I said, I'm the lead pastor. We came here about a year ago in September from the Lower Mainland. My main job, I guess, or role is preaching and teaching and kind of the vision of the church. And then actually just a couple months ago, middle of October, we hired on Don. And so I'm just going to explain, or I'll let him explain kind of what his role is, and he can fill in the details for that.
Yeah, like I said before, I'm the new pastor for youth and young adults, specifically to try to disciple teens, young adults, to bring Jesus into their everyday lives, and also work with the people that want to work with young adults and youth to disciple them and get them working in our ministry here with youth and young adults as well. So I'm excited about the opportunity. Like I said, I've only been here for about a month. Also very excited about this opportunity to do this podcast. I kind of talked to Andrew about it not that long ago about, hey, we should do something online or a podcast or something to try to take advantage of technology and try to, you know, just send out some messages how to live the Christian life on a day-to-day basis. And Andrew had already been thinking about this as well, so that was really exciting that we both were thinking about this. I'm very excited for us here at the church. We want to live authentic Christian lives, not just on Sunday, but all week. And we think this is an exciting opportunity just to talk around the microphone here about how that looks and how that works on a day-to-day basis. So really excited about this opportunity.
Yeah, no, so Don kind of mentioned the purpose of it, and I did too. Just we want to talk about issues that you are dealing with. And so what we need from you is, if you are listening and you are dealing with certain things, on our website, there's a place for you to send in a topic or an issue. So for instance, if, you know, I've been talking to my neighbor about this and, you know, he brought up this question about Christianity, how in the world do I answer him? Or there's a coworker that kind of challenged me on this passage, I have no idea how to answer him. Or someone at school asked me about this. And so we really want to make it very practical and not just the two of us just sitting and wasting time. But we want it to be useful for you. So you can email Don or I. Our emails, mine is andrew@npmbchurch.com and Don's is don@npmbchurch.com. Or you can check out our website and just let us know, hey, can you cover this? Can you talk about this? And that's kind of what we want this podcast to be all about. So maybe I'll get Don to pray as we kind of open, and then we'll dive in this afternoon, I guess.
All right, let's pray. Yeah, Father, we just thank you for this opportunity. And like it says in Proverbs 3, we're just supposed to trust in you with all our heart, and we're just supposed to acknowledge you in all our ways. So we just want to bring this opportunity before you, and that you would bless our times together, that we could just learn together what it's all about following you on a day-to-day basis. Amen.
Amen. So yeah, for this episode, we just want to kind of unpack the gospel a little bit. As me and Don were kind of brainstorming a little bit, we want this to be very gospel-centered. And so we thought maybe it would be interesting. So I'll ask Don, when did you kind of first have a very clear understanding of the gospel? I guess more than just You know, this is the day I said the prayer. You can include that. But when did you kind of like an aha moment or the light bulb went off when you kind of realized just how big the gospel is and what it covers and just how far reaching it is? When was there a moment or a time in your life where you kind of figured that out?
Yeah, I became a Christian when I was 10 years old at a Bible camp. Just was really intrigued by the invitation to have a personal relationship with Jesus. That's something that as a 10-year-old really got my attention. And at the end of that Bible camp week, talked with my counselor about what that meant. And so I invited Jesus to start that relationship in my life. It was between grade 11 and 12 that I kind of had a 3 or 4 day encounter with Jesus. I just sensed him asking me, and at that time I was kind of on the fence, not really wanting to be bad, but not really wanting to commit myself to Jesus either. I was a little bit nervous what he wanted to do with me. So I realized that Jesus was inviting me to give all of myself to him. And he didn't want this wishy-washy thing. And it was almost like he was inviting me to go all out or else ask him to kind of leave. It was kind of a scary moment that Jesus wasn't interested in this wishy-washy stuff. So I actually thought about it for a few days. And I said, well, Jesus, I don't want to go on without you, so I'm in. And it was a very exciting grade 12 year. It was hard. It wasn't until the mid-20s where I really began wrestling with how Jesus does want to do life with me. I had this idea, which many of you might be wrestling with, is trying to work hard to please God. And I was trying to overcome sin, trying to do the things that God wanted me, and it was basically works. And I came to the point where it just doesn't work anymore. And I had an aha moment coming back from Fort Nelson one day where a verse jumped out at me, which was 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, 31, where Jesus had secured salvation and redemption for me. And I guess for the first time I realized that I didn't have to work to earn God's favor to be saved. He already did that, and it was a gift. And I kind of knew that in my head, but I finally dropped it down into my heart where I believed he saved me, and now I could live for him, serve him, walk with him on a day-to-day basis without that burden of trying to do things for him to be saved. It's been a lifelong journey, but I think it was around that time that it finally kind of hit me that Jesus actually paid the full price, and now I could serve him and live for him without having to try to help him save me. So that was probably about that time.
Yeah, I know. I resonate with that as well. I grew up as a pastor's kid and a missionary kid. And I remember saying the prayer, being 6 or 7, and like you said, it was kind of like, yep, I said the prayer, Jesus died for my sins, I'm forgiven. But then after that, it was every single time that I would sin or mess up, which was like daily or multiple times a day, I would have this thinking that, well, Jesus left now and I kind of have to re-ask him into my heart and try really hard next time to not mess up so that he doesn't leave. And for like years, I thought that way. And then went through high school, had a really radical encounter at a youth event, and really gave my life to Jesus, wanted to be a pastor. But it actually wasn't until I was actually working at a church. I was interning at a church. There was a pastor named Mark, and he was preaching through the book of Romans. And I remember, I think it was in the first week that he kind of started this series, he read Romans 1:15. Which says, this is Paul, and he's writing to the Roman church, and he says, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. And he kind of unpacked that Paul was writing to Christians, and I kind of sat there and went, but why do Christians have to know the gospel? If they're already Christians, then they're already saved, and so why is Paul wasting his time? And it really clicked for me that the gospel is so much bigger than just a one-time prayer. It's so much bigger than you know, say this prayer, Jesus saves you from your sin, and then you just kind of live your life. And the scary part is that I was working in a church already in ministry, and it still, the gospel hadn't really clicked for me. But after that moment, like you said, Don, it wasn't like, you know, I have to work to earn my salvation. It was because of Jesus, he's already accomplished what I never could accomplish. And I remember Tim Keller, he says, the gospel isn't the ABCs of Christianity. It's the A to Z. Like, it's all of it, the entire Bible. It's all about the story of Jesus. It's the redemption that he offers. And so we never really graduate from the gospel. We don't, you know, believe in the gospel and then move on to other more important things. The gospel, that's it. And so that was huge for me, being a 20-something-year-old already pastor who didn't understand it. And then all of a sudden it clicked to me as, okay, yeah, I got to stop focusing on what I'm doing and focus on what Jesus has already done. And that idea, it is a daily struggle, but there's so much freedom, I think, when you begin to understand the gospel and just the scope of it. So that is really one of the reasons we wanted to do this, because I think our stories, both Don and mine, are very similar to a lot of Christian people who maybe are still kind of stuck in that. You know, they said the prayer, but they don't really realize that Jesus demands kind of every aspect of our life. Yeah. Or it's, you know, the gospel is this Sunday morning slice of my life, and then Monday to Saturday, it's just kind of slugging it out in the real world. So Don, you were a carpenter for a long time.
Easy does it.
Before you became, so I'm just curious, in your work, in your business, how did you live this out? Was the gospel in your work? How did you live every day following Jesus, not just on Sundays? I don't know, were there intentional things that you did, or how did you do that? I'm just curious.
Yeah, just want to read a couple verses that kind of helped with that whole thing. And they're found in Ephesians, very common verses. You might have heard them. It says in Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. For me, I want to know that Jesus actually wants to be a force and a part of my everyday life. Otherwise, I mean, Andrew and I agree, if Jesus isn't involved in your everyday work, marriage, or whatever, then what's the point? I want to know that he's real. So once I kind of got to that place where Jesus saved me, it's a gift from him. I don't have to work for it. It kind of gave me a new freedom that I was created by God. And some translation says we are God's workmanship. Some say we are God's masterpiece, created to do good works. So that kind of really changed how I looked at my work. I formed my own construction company back in 1995. So I've been construction till this summer. And I just asked Jesus to be kind of the Lord of my job site, my work. And it was just really neat working, meeting different people and trying to bring Jesus into work situations. It was doing things with integrity, trying to admit, you know, when I was wrong. I mean, those were huge things for other people to have someone say, hey, I was wrong. That was my mistake. Things like that was something that Jesus helped me do in my everyday work. Had opportunities, you know, where you're in a man lift with one other person and, you know, suddenly you're talking about divorce and you know, some of these real issues that I think Jesus just brought into the workplace. We talked about more than just the actual work, but so those were neat opportunities, how Jesus came into my job site. Also been married for 27 years, and I really needed Jesus to come walk with me through that as well, how to be a Christian husband, how to keep a marriage going with it, which is very challenging to deal with that. So those are some ways that Jesus came into my job site, and it kind of made it exciting. Wasn't always easy, but Jesus came walking with me every day. So that was something that really made it exciting to know Jesus actually wanted to come into my world and be a part of it and work through me in my job site. So, yeah.
Just so everyone knows, Don has been married for almost as long as I've been alive.
Oh, boy.
No, but that's good because I think a lot of people, I mean, it's different for us, I think. But, well, because our work is so tied to the church. I mean, we go to the church every day to do our work. But I think a lot of people kind of view, well, pastors and missionaries and, you know, Christian daycare workers or whatever, they're kind of doing ministry. And I just am a mechanic. And so I just kind of have to slug it out. And how in the world is being a mechanic or a pilot or a banker, how is that ministry? And I think we have this tendency to separate our worlds into spiritual, which is Sunday mornings or like devotions with our family, and then kind of secular, which is the Monday to Saturday, everyday life. And really one of our hopes through this podcast is that you're going to begin to see that the gospel actually intersects every single area of your life. It was interesting. I was reading an article this morning, actually, by a pastor named Andrew Sandlin, but he was talking about how the gospel actually restores and reclaims culture. Because, again, lots of Christians are, I become a Christian, we kind of just wait it out until Jesus returns, and then he saves us from this evil world or whatever. But he actually said that's kind of a wrong view of what our job is in the world. So he says this about creation and culture and kind of what it's about. He says, creation isn't sinful. It's presently under sin's curse, but it's not sinful. He says, this means that all elements of culture, which is man's creative interaction with creation, including money and food and technology and education and the arts and politics, presently burdened under the weight of sin, are designed to be redeemed. So salvation isn't liberation from creation, it's liberation from sin. If we think that creation is the problem, we'll think that we can get rid of man's problem by getting rid of creation. That is precisely wrong. Creation must be redeemed, not avoided. And the same is true of culture. And I just really went, wow, that's so true. So many Christians and so many churches, it's, well, our culture is evil. We're going to withdraw. I mean, you think about the Mennonites, even because we're an MB church. I mean, they did that back in the day, and some even still, let's withdraw. We don't want to have anything to do with society. And really, the gospel is so far-reaching that it's much more than just a personal, yes, Jesus died for Andrew's sins, and that's very true. Jesus died for Don's sins, and whoever you are listening, he died for the people's sins. But the gospel is that Jesus is beginning to restore everything back to its original perfection. And so we don't hide from culture. We're actually told to redeem culture and go in and reclaim it for the gospel. That just really struck me, because I think we have kind of a backwards view sometimes of what the gospel, or we just over-personalize it. Yep. So Jesus forgives my sins, and that's kind of the end of it, I guess.
Yeah, I know. Like for me, God is the creator. He created everything in the beginning, including work. And that was before sin came in. God had planned for us to work. And so since we had the fall where sin has damaged that, God is still in the business of restoring, renewing, rebuilding. And I know for me, when I build a house or renovate, it's kind of like God in action. He's creating, he's making things new. And it's also with relationships, things deteriorate, they go down, but God is constantly trying to renew. And as we work, mechanic or carpenter, whatever, that gift to want to work and renew, restore things is part of God. God has put his creative abilities in us, and it can be worship, doing these things, renewing, restoring. Some things we, you know, things break down, they decay and all this, and it seems like an endless cycle of trying to keep things working, but and we still do it. And even those mundane things can become worship. It's not like we yippee-ki-yay about it, but it's necessary things. And that's one of the hopes we have as a believer, that God is restoring, renewing now, and someday He is going to fully restore everything. So we have that hope. And so that kind of helps us too with daily doing our part with restoring, renewing, whether it's a house, whether it's a marriage or a relationship. We don't want to give up. We want to keep renewing, restoring. And that kind of gives us a purpose, because that's Jesus, His focus too. And so He wants to join with us as humans to do that. And that that is exciting, to do that together with Him.
Yeah, and I think that makes Christianity so exciting. And it gives like incredible meaning to, like you said, kind of seemingly mundane everyday tasks. So, and not that, you know, Christians are walking around with plastic smiles on their, you know, everything is amazing and I never have any troubles in life, because that's just not true. But I remember reading Martin Luther, he talked about, you know, the incredible, so the housewife or the mother who changes a baby's diaper, and he says, can you really do that to the glory of God? And I mean, yeah, if you read 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, you know, whether we or whatever we eat or drink or whatever we do to the glory of God. And so really, for the person following Jesus, changing a baby's diaper or shoveling the driveway or mowing the lawn or taking out the garbage. And then even if you have a job that maybe you're going, well, how on earth does that relate to Jesus? So fixing a car or driving
Or working on a rainy day on the carpentry.
Yes, working on a rainy day or like filling out paperwork or whatever. It gives such incredible meaning to life, because you go, yeah, the Bible says every aspect of life can bring glory to God, even in the mundane things. And it's about our attitude as we do it. It's about how we, how we approach our work, how we view our work. But yeah, like I said, it's not like it's easy. And I mean, Don is agreeing with me. It's not that every day you wake up, hey, I get to go to work and woohoo, and it's just so much fun. I mean, there's many days when I drive home and I've had a long day of work, and I mean, I don't want to go in and play with my kids and help around the house. I just want to selfishly lie on the couch and take a nap or whatever it is. So it is work, but there's such incredible value and reward in being a Christian, because life has such meaning. Even the mundane, seemingly ridiculous things that we just have to do, all of that has meaning, and it's really all because of the gospel, because we're a part of reclaiming all of those aspects of life and bringing it under the lordship of Jesus. So that makes it exciting for me. I go, all the other worldviews, you go, do they have that kind of meaning in life? And I really don't think they do. I think it's Christianity that actually makes the most sense. And it's the worldview, or whatever you call it, that actually gives life meaning, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's the Christmas story. Jesus was called Emmanuel, not that that was his name, but it meant God with us. And so that's what we're celebrating this Christmas season, for example, that Jesus came down as a baby, as a human, fully God, but also fully human. And He came down to live with us. He was a baby. He was a teenager. He was a young man. He did work. He was supposedly a carpenter. And so that really helps us too at this time of year to realize that God actually came down with us. And like Andrew said, I don't know which other religion would have something like that, where God took the initiative to come down and enter our life, our mess, and walk with us, face the temptations, face the drudgery and the different things that come up in the world. He actually came down and experienced that with us. So now He continues to give that invitation. Will you allow me to come into your life and do life together? That's a really encouraging message at this Christmas time. Sometimes we get lost in all the celebration and everything, but that is kind of the key message, that God came down, Emmanuel, God with us. So that's pretty exciting to be celebrating that this time of year.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's good. And when Don and I talked about this podcast, we said, yeah, I mean, I think I already mentioned that. We want the gospel to be speaking into all areas of life, because really it does. And so, I mean, it kind of has today, talking about work and life and just how it's so much more than just, yeah, Jesus died for your sins. But, you know, every aspect of life is affected and changed by the gospel. And so that's actually one of our hopes as we speak to each of these issues. So whatever it would be, my marriage, my work, parenting, how to talk to neighbors, whatever it is, really, it's not, you know, Don or Andrew's views on it. It's just us wanting to show you how the gospel speaks into all of those areas of life, and how relevant it is, and how incredible it is that Jesus can actually speak into all of those different areas. So that's kind of the goal. And really, you know, as pastors, Don and I, we kind of take, you know, our job description from Ephesians 4, that our job is to equip people to live this out, to do ministry. And so really, that's what this is all about. We want to equip, whether you come to North Peace Church, whether you go to a different church, whether you don't have a church and you're just kind of checking out this podcast, or if you're listening on the radio, but we just want to equip people to follow Jesus, equip people to do ministry, to give an answer for the hope they have, to equip people to just have more and more and more a rich and deep understanding of who Jesus is, and what he's done for us and what he is doing in the world. That's really the goal of why we are doing this. And so 27 minutes has already gone by, which is crazy. So just a reminder, and I'll get Don to close in prayer, but a reminder, if you find this really valuable and you have questions or issues that you're dealing with, please let us know so we can make this as relevant and helpful as possible. And so, yeah, I'll get Don to close in prayer, and then we'll be done for this week.
So, yeah, thank you. We have the privilege of calling you Father. So, Father, we just ask that through this podcast that we could just encourage each other, encourage the listeners, how Jesus wants to enter our life and help us to live for him, experience the gospel, salvation in a very meaningful way. So, yeah, we pray for wisdom and opportunities just to dig into the Bible and how it speaks to our daily life. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And one last confession before we go, because we don't want to live on a throne of lies. This is called a round table podcast, and the table we are sitting at is a rectangle. So we just want to be open and transparent with you, but hopefully you'll tune in next week. Thanks for listening.